About 15 of them surrounded me. That moment dawned on me that I was actually in a very big trouble. Before I knew it, they had cocked their guns to shoot at me.
Across the world today, millions of Christians are persecuted. They face oppression, imprisonment, displacement, and even death simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. These courageous believers are our brothers and sisters. We are in this together with them and we need to hear their voice. Join host Kenneth as we discover their stories today on Release International's Voice podcast.
When preparing for a long car journey, you might factor in the possibility of a breakdown, but few of us would anticipate the possibility of being kidnapped. However, for Christians living in North and Central Nigeria, that possibility is an increasing risk, not least for Christian pastors. On today's podcast, I'm speaking to the Nigerian pastor, Reverend Polycarp Zongo. In October 2020, while travelling to a conference, he was kidnapped by the terrorist group Islamic State West Africa Province. He was held for 7 months before he was eventually released. Listen in as Reverend Polycarp bravely recounts his ordeal and tells how God has used the experience to build his faith. Welcome, Reverend Polycarp Zongo, to the Release International Voice podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Polycarp, you're a Christian pastor based in the city of Jos in Nigeria, and you have a quite remarkable story to tell us about what happened to you. But before we come to that, can you just tell me a little bit about your background? How long have you been working as a pastor? What's your church like? And what's it like to live and work as a Christian in the city of Jos?
Before I proceed, I want to appreciate God. I appreciate Release International Voice of the Persecuted Christians. And I appreciate the whole Christendom worldwide for praying for me when I was captured by this terrorist group. I come from Plateau State, Nigeria. I've been a pastor with the Church of Christ in Nations, Kokin. And by the special grace of God, I have worked with this for over 21 years now. I'm married and I have 3 children. I give glory to God for his grace upon my life. Our ministry here in Jos Plateau State, as we all know, I've been following the news, is not very easy because of a lot of attacks, a lot of persecution. But I give glory to God because his grace has been keeping us. The Lord will continue to see us through. And that is what has been keeping me in the ministry. And I give glory to God. Kokin Church is a very large congregation in Nigeria. Covers almost all the states within the country, and we have our stations, or we have churches even outside Nigeria. And this is Kokin is an evangelical church, which is Bible based. Evangelism is one aspect in which we get our members to the knowledge of God.
Praise God. Thank you for that, Polycarp. Well, so you've been serving as a pastor for some time in a part of Nigeria that I guess we all know can be dangerous for Christians. And in October 2020, things I know took a particularly dark turn for you. You were traveling from your home in Jos to a conference in another town, and you were kidnapped by an Islamist group, the Islamic State West Africa Province. So can you tell us a little bit about what happened that day? Was it just a normal day? Did you have a feeling that something was wrong, or what happened?
It's a very dark age in my life. It's a day that I will never forget. I saw what I have never seen in my life. I've been hearing about this dangerous terrorist group, but I've never met with them face to face until that took place. Well, before I traveled for that program, I had a series of dreams, and I had some heavy feelings traveling. which I had to share even with my wife. But I just took a bold step to still travel. Before then, I had been stopped by some people who warned me something is about to happen to me, so I should be very careful. So I resorted into prayers, and I just proceeded on this journey. On my way, before I reached Bauchi State is a couple of kilometers from Jos Plateau State. I started having problems with my car. But I struggled and struggled until I stopped our tool mechanic workshop to check my car. Before I proceeded, then I met this unfortunate happening, this terrorist group. At the beginning, I thought it was a Nigerian army, because some of them were wearing the Nigerian army uniform. They had two of their trucks parked aside. So I thought they were on a patrol. So they stopped me on the way. I thought they would just check me and give me permission to proceed. When I started receiving directives, instruction to get out of the car, I should hand my car keys to them. It was then that I should sit on the floor. And it was a very terrible command. And I knew that about 15 of them surrounded me. That moment dawned on me that I was actually in a very big, very big trouble. Before I knew it, they had cocked their guns to shoot at me. Then I think they received a command. Some of them came, hit me with guns, hit me with their legs. They tried to tie my hands behind, but it could not work. At that moment, I was just praying in my heart. So when I saw them cock their guns, so I just prayed, talked to my God, and I spoke to some of them just to remind them that what they're doing is wrong. My next, and they took me in their van. There they drove into the bush. I never knew where they were going. We proceeded a journey in the bush, the desert. We kept moving until after 2 days. Then we arrived where they had planned to take.
So initially you thought they were military. You very quickly realized that they weren't. Can you remember, how did you feel at that time when you first realized that they weren't military checking on you, but that this was something really quite serious? How did you feel at that moment?
Well, I knew that they will not spare my life because I know about their dealings with ministers. Secondly, I'm from Jos Plateau State. I know how they hate people from this part of the world, more so that I'm a Christian. So at that point, I was just feeling I cannot make it. I thought they will not even spend 2 minutes to just finish my life. But as I started praying, then I had a very still voice telling me that I should relax. God is in control.
Thanks for that, Polycarp. Well, we know that quite soon after all of this happened, the terrorists released a video of you and they demanded a ransom for your release. So how did they actually treat you during that time? And how much hope did you have that you would eventually be released?
You know, when they took me to their final destination, they took me to one of their commanders. And he was the one that spoke to me. He was the first person that spoke to me. So all the others, they were just, you know, a bit wild. When I met with their commander, he told me that I should relax, that they're not going to kill me. That the reason why they capture people is because some of the people have been detained by the government. So if they capture people like us, the government will release some of the people or ask the government to give them money, because they told me that most cases the government does not release their people. So they rather want to give ransom money. if they're able to meet their demand, then they will release me. So they made that video. They were the ones that gave me the notes to say. They were the ones that told me what to do. If I make a mistake, they will say I should not say this, I should not say that. I should say exactly the way they are saying it. So I did as they instructed. Like the commander was a bit fair to me. He treated me, he respected me, knowing that I'm a pastor. So, and he's also their own leader, treated me well at the beginning. But it was later on, boys started maltreating me.
And during that time, did you have any way of keeping in contact with your family? What were your thoughts about your family?
In fact, at some point, I pleaded with them to talk to my family, which they told me that I should not worry, they will do so. They came and recorded a voice recording to send to my family. But I later on discovered that they did not send it.
On today's podcast, I'm talking to the Reverend Polycarp Zongo. We've spoken about the events surrounding his kidnapping and his initial experience of captivity. Keep listening as we go on to talk about how God sustained him, his eventual release, and how his ongoing ministry has been shaped as a result. Well, what about your relationship with the Lord during that time? Were you able to pray? Did you feel encouraged? Or were there times when you just felt overwhelmed?
Well, at the beginning, I was even happy that the Lord found me worthy to experience this. I've read the scripture. I read stories about Stephen. I read stories about Paul. I read stories about a lot of the saints who passed through that similar line. So somehow I was feeling, yes, I'm happy that the Lord counted me worthy to suffer for the gospel. I was always praying. I was observing every Sunday. I would observe my service because at the beginning they kept me in one house alone. There were other captives, but they kept me in one. So I was the only one there, but they have their soldiers surrounding me, checking all my movements. Even if I'm going to ease myself, there will be guns around me. Whatever I will do, I was being surrounded with guns. My faith was very, very, very strong in the Lord. And somehow I had a feeling that I was not going to be killed. But even if I was killed, I knew my faith, I knew where I was going. So I was observing my prayer. So I didn't have access to the Bible, but the scriptures that were in my mind were the ones that I was, you know, was keeping me moving as a child of God. To the extent that at some point they discovered, they got to know the times that I used to pray. So they were watching and they were observing, and sometimes they would challenge me that, what am I doing? So when I enter to pray, then they will come and say, what am I doing? They kept asking me questions about my faith. I used that opportunity to also tell them about the Lord. Once they hear me talk about Jesus, it was so annoying to them. But at some point, when I saw the time going, when there was no news again, the commander was no longer coming, I was not hearing anything, I didn't know what was happening, and life became more difficult, and the little soldiers were terrifying me, shooting guns all over, taunting, doing all sorts of things, then it became so devastating to me. So at that point, I felt as if God has just forgotten about me. So at that point, I became very weak, very, very weak. I was sick, my body devastated, I became depreciated. Everything about me changed, and I was just seeing people that are not nothing, maltreating me just like this. And I felt, well, what was wrong? So at that point, I was so weak. In fact, at that point, I was even seeking for death. I just wanted to die, rest, and forget about the whole thing. Mm. So it was at that point that I saw the Lord. The Lord came to me, he tapped me and said, "My son, do not worry, I am with you." And I clearly had a voice that said, "Whether with ransom or no ransom, I will listen to you."
Well, that's amazing to hear that, Polycarp. That's really encouraging. Now, we know, of course, that there were some reports circulating at one point to say that you had been killed. Obviously, we're thankful that that proved to be false. But did you ever get to a point where you thought that that was a possibility or even a probability that you would be killed? And again, if it's not too difficult a question to answer, how does it make you feel now, obviously knowing that you were spared, when we both know that, that there are many Christians, sadly, who've lost their lives in Nigeria to acts of violent persecution?
Yeah, there were times that I felt I was going to be killed, because after they took me there, more people were being brought. And sometimes they would just come and say, you, move. So once they take people out, you no longer hear about them. You no longer know what happened to them. And of course, they will not tell you. And there was a day that I even saw people being picked. They wore that red something. And once they wear that, this was for execution. So I was just thinking, well, maybe next time it will be me. Of course, some of them boys told me that for me, it would be difficult for me to live. Somehow, when I received that word from God, it changed my thinking entirely. I knew that I was going to live, but I never knew when.
Well, we know that eventually, after months of negotiation, praise the Lord, you were released and you were obviously reunited with your family. How did that make you feel at that time?
Wow, it was the joyous day of my life, because there I was just thinking about my family, my children, my wife, my siblings, and even the church. And of course, I was praying for them too, because as I was there, I was just saying to myself that now I know where I am, but the people out there don't know whether I'm still alive. They don't know what's happening to me. So, and one thing actually I prayed to God about, I wanted to say it earlier. I prayed to God. I said, yes, I am a child of God. I know if I'm being killed, I know where I was going. But I said, God, I want you to do something. I know that it's not easy for somebody to be captive in the hands of these people and to be released. I know of men of God that were killed. I know of even people better than me in whichever capacity and all sort of things. In fact, I was there when they executed one of the big men of God. But I said, God, I want you to do something that you will give a testimony to the church, that you will build people's faith for people to know that you are still alive and you still perform miracles. And that was one thing I was just praying to God about. I said, even not for anything, for my story to build somebody's faith.
So as you look back on it now, then how has that whole experience shaped you? How would you say it's affected or impacted your relationship with the Lord and your ministry?
You know, when I was preaching and telling people about Jesus, yes, I believe the miracles of God, but that has changed me entirely. If anybody should tell me that God is not God, I see you as a liar. So it has built my faith. It has also impacted my message. Now I can share the scripture practically and to share my experience. At the beginning, it was not easy for me to talk about this. If you ask me anything sincerely, even my church leader, the president of my church, I could not tell him anything when I came back. But within time. So now I can share my story, even on the pulpit. I tell people about that experience. And the more I talk about it, I feel more strength to continue to serve the Lord. In fact, right now, I don't mind if I can have the opportunity to see them face to face and tell them about Jesus.
Well, that was what I was going to ask next, actually, just as we approach the end of our time together, Polycarp, just two final questions. And the first one was going to be, what would be your message today to those who kidnapped you?
My message to them is that God loves them and I love them too. I pray that they will stop what they're doing. They use the strength, use all the technology to turn it into the service of the Lord. Because judgment is sure. If they die in that line, it will be a terrible thing for them.
And so one last question then. How can our listeners pray for you at this time?
I need prayer to remain faithful to God and to continue to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. I also need prayer because the traumatic experience has not left me completely. Once in a while, my thoughts go back, forth and back, forth and back. So that is the prayer I need. And also so that God should redirect me on what he desires me to do.
During his seven-month ordeal, Reverend Polycarp experienced both highs and lows, encouragement and weakness. From his initial thankfulness at being counted worthy to suffer for the Lord, to his despair and even longing for death. The Bible tells us to remember our brothers and sisters in prison, because the experience of captivity can be incredibly difficult. They need God's grace to endure. Perhaps you prayed for Polycarp when you heard about his abduction. We thank God for his deliverance, and we thank God that Polycarp has been able to forgive his kidnappers and to boldly testify to God's ongoing faithfulness. May his story be a further incentive for us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria today, especially any who are currently being held captive. Thank you so much for listening to The Voice podcast. Please do subscribe through your favourite podcast app so you can stay connected to The Voice of Persecuted Christians. We'd love to hear your feedback on the podcast too, so please do share your comments with us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube. And if you don't already receive our free quarterly magazine or prayer alert emails, then you can subscribe on our website at releaseinternational.org/podcast.
Remember those who are in prison as if you were in there together with them, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Do not abandon them.